shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health here on Transformation Talk Radio. And as always, welcome to the show. I'm delighted that you're here. I love having conversations about money. And, you know, it is my opinion that this world could use a lot of shifting and doing money in a brand new way. And of course, that happens one person at a time. I think we get caught up in wanting things to be different and wanting things to shift and change and having a lot of angst around it. And it starts with us as individuals. And that's what this podcast is all about, learning how to do money in a brand new way, in a way that brings changes to your personal life and your personal bank account, in addition to everything that we want to have shift on the planet. So if you have been listening for a while, you may notice what once again, I am here on my own. This is the second part of a two-part conversation that I'm having around the soul money relationship. And I usually have guests here and that's a lot of fun. And we really uncover a lot of interesting information, but I was thinking a lot about the soul money relationship and really wanting to have a direct conversation about it. So therefore this two-part solo podcast for me. What I want to talk about today is a continuation of talking about why is it important to talk about the soul money relationship? Why is it that this is what is going to create lasting peace and lasting abundance for you? And the soul money relationship is at the heart of what I teach people. This is really what I use to help people, again, have that lasting peace and abundance. And the emphasis very specifically is on the word lasting. We all know how to create money. We've all kind of, if you're listening here, my guess is you've dabbled with manifestation and we've been able to create things here and there, but how do you do something that really is lasting? And that's why the soul money relationship is so important. It is the cornerstone of that. And it's about being able to step out of your old beliefs, the old sort of human understanding of what money is all about, and shifting into a very soul-directed, divine-directed approach and stepping into everything that you do around money in this very soul divine kind of way. Now, when I say that, I'm not suggesting that you throw out budgeting. I'm not suggesting that you throw out paying attention to your numbers. That's actually a key component. Within the soul money relationship, we have a connection with divinity. We have a connection with ourselves and we have a connection with money. We have to get square with money, and money likes structure and it likes attention. And so budgeting is actually a really important thing to do. But what I want us really to look at is the come from. And meaning, when you are stepping into playing with money, what's your emotional, mental come from? Are you coming out of that old idea that money is scarce, that it is a very limited resource and you have to sort of scrabble and fight and work hard and improve yourself, improve your worthiness to get it? Or are you coming out of this understanding that money is a tangible resource of divinity? We are unique strands of the divine. Therefore, we have access to every physical resource of the divine, including money. And so we have this ability to really, truly create unlimited flows. Those are two very different approaches. And when you take the soul approach, that's when you have the ability to truly get into that flow of lasting abundance, lasting peace that comes when we have that lasting abundance. So I want to talk about, and to be able to get into that soul approach, five different shifts that you can make to be able to create this new understanding and really being able to live from the soul money approach. In the last podcast, I also talked about five shifts. I've talked about shifting from understanding that or believing that money is more transactional into knowing that money is more of a relationship. Talked about shifting from allowing the flow of money to create your emotions to realizing that your emotions are creating your flow. Talked about how money is an unlimited resource, shifting into that understanding. And then two other ones. First, we tend to, and this I think is broader than money, but when we want something different, we tend to hold on really hard. We tend to try to control it, right? Be the real puppet master. And that doesn't work real well with money. Money is really meant to be something that we open and allow. So that's an important shift to make, to play in the soul realm. And then finally, last time I talked about the difference between believing that money is something that you really have to earn to truly understanding that it's just part of our, it's really part of our DNA makeup that we have access to all of these resources. All right. So clearly I went into more depth in the last podcast. So if you want more details about that, take a listen there. I'm going to jump in here now and start talking about five additional shifts, five differences really that we get to step into in order to have lasting peace and abundance. So one other caveat to mention here before I jump in, and that is, as you listen to these, my guess is you've brought bits and pieces of these into what you're already doing. My invitation, though, is to listen and hear how you can make a complete shift. This really requires a paradigm shift and what we're really willing to live from and believe, okay? And we can only do it one step at a time. So that statement isn't meant to be a scary kind of statement, like, oh, either I flip into the whole paradigm or I'm never going to have lasting peace and abundance. We can only do it as we can do it. But we tend to do what's comfortable, and it can be uncomfortable to do that paradigm shift. So take a listen to these shifts and see how you can allow yourself to feel that sense of safety in the true understanding of money. Okay. All right. So let's get going. The first shift that I want to talk to you about today is around power. And oh, the topic of power and money is gigantic. It would take days of hour-long conversations to really get into all the nuances around money and power. But let's start with just acknowledging where we think the power rests. Does the power rest with money, or does the power rest with us when it comes to allowing resources to flow? So let's ask a question. So just pause for a moment and ask yourself, who holds the power? Is it money or is it me? We say things like, you know, I'll feel great when the money is here. Or when I have this much money in my bank account, I can finally relax. Or when I have this much money flowing, I can finally know that I've made it, right? And we've all said those kinds of statements, or statements that are cousins to those statements. And, you know, there's some variation there, but they all say the same thing. Money is the one with the power. It gives us, what we're saying in those statements is, money has the power to make us happy. Money has the power to decide that we have, that we're good enough. Money is the one that is going to keep us safe. And none of that's true. It's all part of this old approach to money. And without getting too conspiracy sounding, it really was done very specifically. I talked in the last podcast about how money got co-opted, right? It came from this really beautiful divine source, and it was taken as a symbol of power. And again, it was a very deliberate thing to do. And when somebody is in power, what do? They say that the resource that got them there is very limited, very scarce. So if you don't have it like they do, then, you know, you don't hold the power. You don't have the same ability. You're not at the same level as they are. And so this idea that money is scarce and limited and you have to work really hard, that became part of our collective story. And we all bought into it for whatever reasons. And here we are. The thing is, though, money was never intended this way, ever. It was, again, it's this universal resource that we all have access to. And when you take that soul approach, when you allow yourself with both feet to step into the soul money relationship and the soul money approach, you realize you are the one with the power. And money simply becomes a tool for how we spend that power. That's all that it is. Okay. When you reestablish yourself as the power center, you don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to wait for anything. You can be happy now. You can feel peace now. You can feel that sense of flow now. You do not have to wait until the bank account says XYZ in order to have all of that. And what's beautiful is when you already feel it, that's what opens you up to allow the flow. That's what we were talking about in the last podcast. All right. So all of these shifts really build on each other. All right. So what I'm inviting you to, rather, to remember out of this shift is that you are the power center when it comes to money. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the next shift, which is actually shift number 7, if you add the 5 from last time, but it's the second one that we're going to be talking about today. And it really flows very nicely from the from this last shift. And it's all about leadership. So power is one thing, but then the question becomes, who's in charge? Who's really in charge of the flow? And who's really in charge of how the money comes? When you look at money through the lens of the for that old money story, right? And you're saying that money has all of the power, it's naturally assumed then that money is the one who is creating is the one who's in charge of the leadership. Okay. But here's the thing. Money has no free will. Neither does the divine. So here you are, you're in relationship, right? I use a triangle to show the soul money relationship. You're in a relationship with the divine, with money. It's hard to point at the opposite side of I can't make it the other direction, but you're in relationship. And you've got the divine, you've got money and you are the only one who has any free will. So the only one who has the possibility of leading is you. And this is true whether you're conscious of it or not. I think that, you know, we say things along the lines of, I want to learn how to work with the law of, I want to use the law of attraction today. Well, we're always using the law of attraction, whether we know it or not. It's a law. Same thing with gravity. You don't wake up and say, today I'm going to use the law of gravity. Tomorrow I'll just float around. It's always working on you. And it's the same thing here with the soul money relationship. Even when you are not aware that you are the one leading the show, you are the one leading the show. This is why the come from is so freaking important. Because if you are coming from that outdated understanding of money where you say, money must be earned, I have to work really hard, that, you know, that's, and even though you're saying it, you're believing it, but that's not how you want it, you're saying it, and it goes into this relationship, and the money says, fine. If that's what you want to believe, that's fine. I will follow that. And divinity, while it is infinitely bigger than all of us, has infinite intelligence, and has infinite access to all kinds of connections that are going to create our the kinds of flows that we want in ways that we could never imagine, it has to wait for you to make that request. And when you are in your leadership role saying, no, what I really want is, or what I'm expecting is that I'm going to have to work really hard and I'm going to have to struggle, that all of that comes at a cost, meaning money and the divine say, that's fine. We'll do that for you. When you know about the soul money relationship and you step into that leadership position in a very conscious way, you have a much higher likelihood of developing the kind of flow that you really want, right? Because you can step into that relationship. And again, if you've got the power thing worked out, you're stepping in knowing that you are equal between you and the divine and money. There's a level of equality there that we've never really talked about. That's not something that anybody really teaches you. Okay, so you step in and you get to create from there. So as you, again, as you lead, you can choose in a brand new way, and you can choose flows in ways that are going to continue to last. Okay, so the question that you get to ask yourself here is, where am I leading from? Who do I want to be as a leader? What do I really want out of this relationship? How do I want to show up for it? Right? There's lots and lots of depth that you can get when you shift into this particular understanding. And again, these two shifts that I've talked about in number one about power and number two about leadership go hand in hand. And I think that we get really nervous. Many of us get nervous when we're given those leadership reins. In fact, I taught a class a couple of months ago, and I was really surprised. I was talking about this leadership ability, and I asked people to do, we did an exercise where we looked at the different levels of power, the different levels of leadership, and people, and I heard from a number of people, I'm not sure I want to be the one in charge. Doesn't that put all the weight on my shoulders? If I'm not getting what I want and I'm the one in charge, then I'm the one I have to look at. But what that uncovers is is another layer of outdated beliefs, outdated understandings about who we are and what we're supposed to do, right? It is never about getting anything perfect. It's never about, this is not about doing one right thing. And it's not about really succeeding or failing. It's about who do I want to be and how do I want this to flow? And if it isn't flowing, what do I get to tweak? It's a lot easier that when you're in that realm of connection, in that realm of soul and money, we get to put away a lot of the crap that we think comes with leadership, right? And instead we get to choose who we want to be as that leader. And we get to throw away that idea of failing and having to get things right. And whose fault is it? Right? Last time we talked about, well, I guess we're going to talk about it next. We're going to talk about alignment next. But we talked a lot about allowing as opposed to controlling. And that's what you really get to do in this conscious use of the soul money relationship. All right. So the first shift for today is about recognizing you're the power center. And then the second shift for today is about stepping into your leadership of that relationship, taking it on, owning it, and working with it. Okay. All right. So the third shift, or shift number eight, if you're keeping track from last time, is all about how we handle mistakes. So it really, it flows again from what I was just speaking about. And when you think about history in general, there's, you know, that sort of the old adage, which I'm going to butcher here, but history repeats itself. So if we don't understand what's happened before, we're just going to recreate it. And we've taken that on in the money realm by saying, if I've made mistakes in the past, whether that mistake looks like I missed my bill payments just because I wasn't paying attention, or I missed my bill payments because I didn't have enough in the bank, or maybe I'm an overspender, maybe I'm an emotional spender, or maybe I didn't get the raise that I wanted, or I was cheated out of some money, or I experienced a bankruptcy, right? From kind of the very small to the much larger experience. If we've made those kinds of mistakes, then we need to be sure we never, ever, ever do them again. In the old model, how do we do that? Well, we keep those mistakes alive from a place of guilt and a place of shame. We do a lot of repetitive thinking. We do a lot of controlling. And we, again, sort of keeping the spirit of it alive so that we never do it again. And I, you know, overall, I can understand that is something that makes a lot of sense on the one hand, right? We don't want to be cavalier about it. And yet we cannot govern ourselves with shame and guilt and fear and worry and anxiety and play in the soul realm. When we step into the soul realm, when we step into the divine model, what we understand is the reason why something happened that doesn't feel good, and that's bottom line, none of that stuff feels good, but the reason why those things happened is because we were out of alignment with who we are. We're out of alignment with who we are as a soul, who we know ourselves as a person. We're out of alignment with beliefs that our soul will or will not hold. And when those kinds of things happen, that's when, quote, mistakes happen with money. When I think about the bankruptcy that I went through, there was an incredible amount of stuff that was out of alignment in my relationship with money. And actually relationship, I say that word relationship, and it's actually relationships with myself and relationship with my partner. When I typically tell the story, I talk about how I was using money as a signal as to whether the message that I was giving out through my business was worthy or not. Right. So if I had enough money coming in, then of course I was worthy. But if I wasn't worthy, then something wasn't right and I wasn't doing it right. But if I didn't ever view myself as worthy, then how was I ever going to allow money to flow in? Right. It was this really awful catch 22. And I was emotionally bankrupt, and money, that was what happened. The physical mirrored what was going on internally. But if I take an even broader viewpoint, when I look at where we were financially leading up to the bankruptcy with multiple unemployment and on my partner's part and not having medical insurance and having to do surgeries without medical insurance and all of these other pieces and where our credit cards were, there's a lot of excuses. But I can also see that there was a lot of misalignment between my partner and I in what conversations we were willing to have, in how we were using money and power in a really odd way. And I feel comfortable sharing all of this because he would tell you the exact same thing. What we've done is we've learned from that. So the soul approach says, all right, you're out of alignment. What do you want to do about it? So you look at why something happened without dumpster diving, without really, you know, you don't have to, right, all get to the very bottom of it, but you do get to create understanding. So that soul approach says, look at why it happened, heal what needs to get healed, and then focus on regaining the alignment. You cannot shame yourself into great wealth. All right, let me say that again. You cannot guilt or shame yourself into great wealth. It's never going to happen. If you want lasting peace to go along with your lasting abundance, again, you can't shame or guilt yourself into it. When you carry that shame and that guilt, all you're doing is recreating more of the same. You may not make the same mistake, but you're going to make something similar. I worked with a client one time who had a lot of guilt and shame around money just in general. And then she created a couple of times where she received a significant inheritance, and then she spent her way all the way through it. Right? So the shame and the guilt will manifest in different ways, but it's never going to manifest as this really beautiful bank account that and lasting peace. Okay. And not everything needs to be healed, right? You know, not everything needs a great big production, but if you are feeling a consistent sense of shame or guilt or worry or fear or anxiety, that's when you get to ask the bigger question, what am I believing that is knocking me out of alignment? Because your soul will never, ever, ever give you those emotions. Okay. Alignment is what you want. Alignment within the relationship of the soul money relationship, alignment with being a leader, alignment with who you are, alignment with the energy of money. And when all of those come together, your output is now this really beautiful soul money relationship. All right. So we've got the first three shifts today being about honoring your power center, stepping up and being the leader. And then third and final for this moment is acknowledging that mistakes happen when you're out of alignment and choosing alignment over and over again instead of beating yourself up. So we need to take a quick break. This is Soul Wisdom Abundance. I'm your host, Jennifer Bloom. And when we get back, I want to share two additional shifts to make to continue this path of shifting into the soul money relationship. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no. Or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Get empowered.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
We're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance. I'm your host, Jennifer Bloom, and I am hosting this solo podcast today, talking all about creating a paradigm shift so that we shift out of the old money views and into a soul approach around money and how that creates lasting peace and abundance within your bank account. And we talked about shifting the power center of money. We've talked about creating new leadership abilities, and we've talked about remembering that what we're doing here is really about creating alignment with yourself, with the divine, and with money. So those are the first three shifts that I talked about today, following the five shifts that we talked about in the last podcast. And I have two more that I want to share. So let's step into it here. I'm hesitating only because there's a shift that we want to make. I want to emphasize there's a shift that we make individually, and there's a shift that we want to make that looks more globally, and that's where we're going. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this fourth shift, and this one centers around: is it okay to ask? Is it okay to really want money? I would imagine that many of us, I grew up with some of this messaging. It was really more implied. It wasn't so much direct, but I know a lot of people where we get really direct messages that it's not okay to want something, right? That you really shouldn't ask for too much. You need to be careful what you're asking for. And there is this underlying sense that people who wanted too much were just not really great people, or people maybe were greedy or dishonest or evil, right? That word gets thrown around a lot in the wanting area. And this underlying sense that if you were somebody that wanted a lot of things, that you just weren't really a very good person, that you really should be focused on other people and giving instead of receiving. And there's the whole giving and receiving cycle is a whole other conversation and an important one to have too. But let's focus first here on just this wanting part. Okay. So all of these beliefs about even stepping into, there's a certain amount of money that, and if you go over it, it's bad for one person, and that wanting is bad. That's all wrapped up in the old approach, a very analytical approach to money and this old, very human view about money. And quite honestly, the people who were giving this message, it wasn't intended to be hurtful. It really, they were trying to keep us safe, right? If they heard us asking for something that they thought that was impossible, it was better to tell us don't want it instead of telling us, you'll never get that. That message might have come through too, that second one. But to be kinder, right? You spread this message of, it's just better not to want it. Perhaps they wouldn't have been able to give it to you. And so to save themselves the embarrassment, they're like, no, just, don't want too much. Don't ask for that new pair of jeans. Don't ask for that new pair of shoes. Right. Then that way it takes the conversation away from, I can't give it to you. And it hurts me that I can't give it to you. So just believe that you shouldn't have it. They might have been passing messages on from their parents, their teachers, etc., right? Things roll downhill quite easily. And of course, there's a lot of religious texts that get blended in here that talk about wealth in ways again, it's more about giving to other people, and certainly giving is an important part of the cycle, but we need to clean up in a very big way, clean up this idea that it's not okay to want, that it's not okay to ask for something, that it's not okay. And that it makes you a bad person. It's really hard to get right with money when you're sort of thinking, it's not a good idea. Right? You're really going to hold money at arm's length if you do that. The soul approach understands that when we want something that we don't have, that we have to get into alignment with it, right? So it's not just getting into realignment after you've made a mistake, but if you want something and you don't know how you're going to get it, you have to align with it in some way. And in order to do that, we're going to have to expand. We're going to have to deepen our roots into our understanding of soul. We're going to have to deepen our trust. We're going to have to deepen our belief in who we are. We're going to have to up our expectation or anticipation game, right? There's lots of different ways that we get to realign when there's something that we want that we don't have. And that creates expansion. We expand as a soul when we move into this new area of realignment. And because we are singular strands of the divine, and we are part of the bigger, I see it as this great big blob, but when we are part of this greater divine and we expand, we allow the divine to expand as well. In my belief system, the divine is unfinished. It is always seeking expansion. And part of the reason that we are here on this planet is to expand ourselves so that the divine has that expansion and has a deeper understanding of itself. So truly, one of the great ways that we can one of the great ways that we can expand is through wanting something that we don't have. The slippery slope, I think, that many times people are afraid of is wanting and wanting and wanting and never being satisfied, right? I think that's one of the reasons why as parents, we might teach our kids, don't ask for too many things, because we're afraid that they're going to, I don't know, be spoiled or selfish or any of those kinds of things. But the answer isn't to not want. Answer is to step into appreciation, to appreciate what's present, to appreciate what's all around us. And then when we get into that place of wanting something, we can really support it, right? When that wanting grows out of appreciation, like, wow, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't this be amazing? Wouldn't this be the next greatest step that I could take? Wouldn't that next layer be really, really fun? And then we have that gift of expanding into bringing it into existence. So truly wanting fulfills our job as souls. So I'm going to invite you to take a moment and pause and look at what you feel when you say it's okay to want, or wanting fulfills our jobs as souls. That's a brand new way of looking at things. How does that make you feel inside? If there's anything that feels out of alignment, that's where your work gets to be. Okay. All right. So the final shift that I want to talk about is, again, this is a topic that could warrant hours of conversation, but I cannot have this conversation about making shifts without talking about this topic. So we're talking, so the very first shift, right, that I talked about was about relocating the power center and understanding that you're the power center. At the same time, we have to acknowledge that over hundreds of years in this country and thousands of years in our culture, our world in general, that there have been very intentional systems that have been placed to stop the growth of certain categories of people. People of color, of any color other than white, and women, right? These systems are very clear. If you're not a white male, there are lots of systems that keep the playing field of money that are very in an uneven kind of a way, in a very tilted, very, very uneven way. And this is not imaginary. These are real systems that create real inequity and stop the access to resources. And they've been played for, again, in this culture, they've been around for hundreds of years. And when you have generations of people who have been told no repeatedly, who have been assumed to be less than worthy simply because of the color or of their gender, and they are told that, right? When that has been repeatedly through generations, have been told repeatedly for generations that they're powerless, it's a challenge. Let's just put it that way. Again, there's lots of conversation to have around this. But when these systems are here and is generations deep, that creates this incredible layer, whether we're conscious of it or not, that holds people in place. And there's no way to take the old system and change it, right? You can't shift it in the old system because it is the old system. In fact, today in the news, in my little suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul, we have a lot of red in our suburb for a variety of reasons, but in general, Minnesota is very blue, right? We are very equality based here. But in my suburb today, in the news, there is censure of a company here for not hiring women. My head nearly exploded when I read it. I couldn't believe it, right? Here in this day and age, it's 2021, and they have a culture proven that they could, that they didn't hire women. Huge fine. Anyway, so what do we do about this? You know, to just say, oh, take a soul approach to it might sound a little bit simplistic, but hear me out on this. The first step, if we're taking a soul approach, the very first step that we take is to honor the presence of the system, to honor the anger, the rage, the frustration, the inequity, the unfairness, anything that you can think of. That's first. And we get to acknowledge it, honor it, and let it go from our personal individual system. All right. As we do that, that creates a brand new space for reconnecting with our own power center, which is our divinity. Okay. When we do that, when we remember that is our power center, we get to remember at a soul level, at a cellular level, that every one of us has the birthright of abundance. Every one of us has this birthright of prosperity. Every one of us has the birthright of equality. We are all one. And in the face of just really unbelievable acts, that can sound empty. And yet, as individuals, we have to get to a place where we remember that. And I recognize that as a white woman living in my suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul, I have a lot of privilege that a number of people don't. And at the same time, it is about reconnecting to our own power, to reconnecting to our own understanding. When we as individuals keep turning towards truth, when we start and we get into alignment with truth, we start to receive inspired actions. We start to get connected with willing helpers. We get access to external resources in ways that we'd never have before. And as we experience that, we experience the truth of the situation. We experience the truth of who we are and what we get to do. And every time an individual turns towards truth and remembers and receives from it, we dismantle a little bit of that system. Right? If I no longer play along with the belief that some people are more equal than others, if I no longer play along with the belief that some people don't deserve the resources, and now I am working towards what truth really is, I've taken a chunk out of that system. And the more I do it, and you do it, and your neighbor does it, and the person down the street does it, the more we change the systems that need to be changed in this country and in this world. Okay. There's a lot of realigning that needs to happen. When we all have equal access to financial resources, the power center again changes completely. So this is hugely important for all of us. Even if you are listening and you are a white male, right? This particular shift is essential for every single one of us. And it's why I do what I do. Because when all of us create this shift, we are going to overturn the way the power center on this planet. We all are going to be able to step more firmly into our gifts as individuals and to be able to receive resources from who we are as souls. There's nothing more important than that. Because when we are all living our gifts, this world is going to be an amazing place. It's already an amazing place. It's got a lot of flaws and problems and pain and suffering. And yet we've got a lot of amazing things that we can continue to do. Okay. All right. I will step off my soapbox, and I shouldn't actually diminish speaking about it as a soapbox issue. The importance couldn't be greater. All right. So as I pause and take a breath, maybe that's a better thing to say. I'm going to remind you that we talked about 5 big shifts today, right? We talked about shifting our power center, talked about creating our own leadership, really, truly stepping into leading the soul money relationship, knowing that the divine and money are going to follow us wherever we go, right? They don't have free will, so I'm going to lead. Talked about how there really is no such thing as a mistake, that a mistake happens because we're out of alignment. So when something happens that doesn't feel good or that we don't want, all we have to do is realign. We talked about how expansion is what we really want, and that when we want something new, that is going to allow us to expand. And then finally, we get to acknowledge the inequities in our system, and we get to move forward through them. That each time we turn to truth as individuals, we get to take a little chunk out of that system. But we don't do it without first acknowledging that it's there. We don't just turn a blind eye to it. We acknowledge it, and then we step into truth, right? So I hope that with this conversation paired with the conversation in the previous podcast, that you're really starting to get an understanding of why it's so important to make that flip into a soul paradigm, to not just sort of pull a little bit of manifestation and a little bit here and a little bit there. That means there's nothing wrong with it. But when you really make that flip into a soul-based approach, that's when things completely change. we're able to make all of these shifts and we're able to invite in lasting peace and lasting abundance. If you are looking for resources to help you make these shifts, I have two to offer you. The first is completely free. I'm going to invite you to go to my homepage at jenniferbloom.com and to click on the Soul Money Relationship Quiz. This is going to help you understand the different elements of the Soul Money Relationship, and it's going to show you which one of your aspects of the relationship is out of alignment, and it's going to give you a transformational exercise to be able to start to shift that. So you're going to be able to begin to understand your relationship better and help to create changes within that relationship. If you're looking for more one-on-one support, I'm going to suggest a Soul Money Possibility session with me. That's on the services menu of my website. In that session, you learn one of your money languages. You get two more transformational exercises for the other two aspects of your Soul Money relationship. We start to heal one of the beliefs that are keeping you out of alignment. Right. So we've done this first half of the session doing that. The second half, I'm going to talk to you about the different options that I have as far as programs and services and find out if there's something that's a really good fit for you. So either you walk away with healing in place, or you walk away with healing in place and a plan for how to continue it. As I said, it is a paid session. It's a $97 investment. And if you choose any of the services that I offer after that, we just apply that cost to the session, to whatever you've chosen. Okay, so those are a couple of resources for you. All right, everyone, we've come to the end of today's podcast. I am delighted that you have been here. I thank you all for your energy and the contributions that you make. And I look forward to our next conversation. Soul Wisdom Abundance is on Fridays, the first and third Fridays. In our next podcast, I'm going to be talking with a guest about alignment. We're going to go deeper into alignment and why it's so important. Thank you all for being here. And until we meet again, I offer each and every one of you prosperous blessings. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.